And as I said, we'll just move right into the sit. So I want to invite each of us to come into a posture that allows the body to feel comfortable, first of all. And as I mentioned before, this might mean you are lying down, or you're continuing to stand or walk, or you're sitting. But the invitation is to incline the mind to being alert, available, awake. So it's really inviting those energies in, connecting our feet to the earth, drinking in the earth's grounding, beautiful energies, connecting in to the energies of the heavens, and allowing ourselves almost like click in to the earth below us and the heavens above us. And just taking a few breaths, maybe exaggerating the exhale, just as an invitation to keep arriving into the body. Yeah, and just settling. And for our anchor this morning, I'd like us to stay in the body, as we so often do in these guided meditations, and rest, if it feels comfortable, in the bones. So this invitation of sort of drinking in the earth energies through the feet, the energies the earth so easily offers to us, and then also allowing ourselves to ground in the bones, in the skeletal form. It may be helpful to have an image of rock, a hillside, the sort of iconic spirit rock image of the tree and the rock, the hillside, you know, Mount Fuji or Mount Rainier for our Pacific Northwest friends and sisters, Mount Tam, if you're in the Bay Area, or whatever mountains might be near you that can, if you call to mind, allows there to be a sense of, oh yeah, the grounded, steady profundity of a mountain that is unchanged by winds and storms, fundamentally unchanged. There's a steadiness, a solidity, as it is externally in this image of, say, a giant sequoia tree or a giant redwood tree in the coastal California Northwest area, or where I am, there are amazing 100-year-old oak trees that are gorgeous. Almost aligning ourselves with the natural world that can provide us with a sense of steadiness, grounded stillness, unflappableness. Yeah. As we get blown around by the worldly winds of praise and blame and gain and loss and pain and suffering, that are conditions of our lives, this quality of being able to remain steady, much like the mountain, fundamentally remain steady regardless of the storms. The trees can bend as they can in the wind. The rocks. These elemental forms are very much a part of our form. We're made of the same stuff. Can we again align ourselves, ally ourselves with this earth element that's beneath us, that may be supporting us if we're sitting on a wooden chair, for example. Allowing ourselves really to feel a part of the community of the natural world, the trees, the earth, the mountain, the rocks, and just rest. There's nothing else to do. There's nowhere else to go. You've already committed yourself to the practice, right? And just noticing how it is, just to allow the energy, the attention, just to rest here in the body. And in so doing, we become available to the experience, like, oh, this is how it is in this body. The mind will do what it does. It's going to have opinions and judgments and to-do lists and fantasies, and okay, we don't have to worry about that. That can just pass by like the clouds pass over the mountain, over the trees, over the rocks, right? It's this remarkable opportunity to practice staying grounded. Again, almost if itself, as if we could lean up against the mountain, the rock, the tree. And thoughts and emotions will just pass through. Okay. But allowing yourself to accept the generosity of the natural world, the trees, the rocks, the earth. Yeah. And please remember, there's no such thing as a bad sit. We come, we take our seats, and we see how it is. Sometimes it's a really lovely experience, and sometimes it's not so lovely. Okay. Just rest in the bones. We'll get caught in thought, oh, wait, come back. Can I feel the connection of the bones in my hands, hands on my legs? The visual, if it's helpful, of the skeletal form, the skull, the jawbone, the vertebrae, the rib cage, long bones of the arm, the pelvic bowl. Long bones of the legs, little bones of the feet. Rest here. There's nowhere else to go. Thank you for ringing the bell, and I hope the sit was good, by which I mean the delight. There's some trace of delight that we get to all sit together, aware that actual time might not have been delightful. But today I wanted to, last week, for those of us that were here, kind of this theme of it was a constellation of the paramis, kind of what are our heart qualities that we feel so committed to that then guide us through the winds and floods of being human. And today I wanted to sort of zero in more on one, which is not considered one of the perfections of the heart, but I feel like it's in a way that an expression of a well-embodied heart. And it's one of the Brahma Viharas, the divine abodes, and it's mudita, or sympathetic joy. And as many of you know, there's of the Brahma Viharas, the divine abodes, it's loving kindness, compassion, mudita, and equanimity. And joy is such an important, although sometimes overlooked, practice, because it allows us to really look at how do we meet the circumstances. Circumstances are challenging, whether it's health challenges or financial challenges, relationship challenges, you name it. The reality of in this lifetime, there is suffering, there is stress, there is disappointment. Those are givens. Okay. So in addition to really allowing ourselves to drop into the qualities of the heart that we are born with, the natural goodness of the heart, this ability we have to cultivate as a practice, to undertake the training in joy. Share some quotes. This is from Christina Feldman's Boundless Heart. Joy needs space and room to emerge. When we turn towards joy, we are no longer hostage to the world of conditions, no longer demand of the world of people and events to satiate us and relieve us of distress. Joy is a way of abiding, the home of the awakened mind. What a beautiful invitation to, as we can drop into the state of joy, as a way of moving and relating in the world, that we can embody this almost on a cellular level, perhaps in moments, and we are no longer beholden or hostage to the world of conditions, the demand or demanding of people and events of places to be just what we want them to be. In my mind, there's no greater freedom than to release ourselves from the need for things to work out. One, because they don't necessarily, but if we can abide, if we can relax and rest and take comfort in this domain of joy and of sympathetic joy, which is the delight in others' good fortune. Dalai Lama's oft-quoted line that there are 8 billion people in the world. If we can allow ourselves to delight in another's good fortune, that's a lot of joy to be able to pay attention to. Again, from Christina, joy requires discipline, the discipline of kindness, to disengage with the world of anxiety and restlessness and busyness. Meditative disciplines available to us are the doorways to discovering the joy of stillness. From Brother Stendhal Rust, whatever life gives to you, you can respond with joy. Joy is a happiness that does not depend upon what happens. It is the grateful response to the opportunity that life offers you at this moment. So that's quite an invitation. Regardless of what's coming, regardless of what's being presented to us, can we respond with joy because we're given an opportunity, not because, oh, everything's great, rarely, sometimes, not always, but this way of, oh, here's an opportunity to practice and offering a sense of that life is offering us a chance. Can we find through the cultivation of this muscle, the capacity to respond, the appreciation of, okay, at least I'm here and I'm here to learn and learn. I feel, but one of the, just to be transparent, one of the purposes in our life is really how do we share our gifts? How do we open our hearts such that those gifts can come forth? Can we turn towards the world to see what's there, emboldened by and bolstered by this sense of joy? Joy is not, it's not happiness that makes us grateful. It's gratefulness that makes you happy. Again, this is from Brother Stendhal Ross. Every moment is a gift. There is no certainty that you will have another moment with all the opportunities that it contains. The gift within every gift is the opportunity it offers to us. Most often it's the opportunity to enjoy it, but sometimes difficult gift is given to us, and that opportunity is to rise to the challenge. When you are grateful, you're not fearful. When you're not fearful, you're not violent. When you're grateful, you act out of a sense of enoughness as opposed to scarcity. And you're willing to share. And he sort of blends into, or this quote at least, from joy into gratitude. And they are very close, right? Sort of one's the extension of another. If we can abide in a place of joy, the gratefulness is there. For whatever the sun is shining, or there's rain, or there's the earth under our feet. And I've been a big fan of really lowering the bar of what we can be grateful for. And as when my daughter was young, we would do sort of sharing gratefulness prayers at night. What are we grateful for? And sometimes, understandably, one or the other of us would just be really grouchy. And I was like, we have fingernails. We could be grateful for fingernails. And to be able to bring some humor into it, I'm sure many of us have kept gratitude journals and sort of noticing what happens when we do that. But again, this the root of gratefulness and joy, that I think they meet in the same place, right? The seed of an openness to the wonder of the world and offering kind of an appreciation for what's here. In David White's book, Consolations, he writes about joy. Joy is the meeting place of deep intentionality and self-forgiving, the bodily alchemy of what lies inside us in communion with what formerly seemed outside, but now is neither, but become a living frontier, a voice speaking between us and the world, dance, laughter, affection, skin touching skin, singing in the car, music in the kitchen, the quiet, irreplaceable and companionable presence of a daughter, the sheer intoxicating beauty of the world inhabited as an edge between what we previously thought was us and what we thought was other than us. And I love this idea of this frontier, what was understood to be external and internal. There's this blending. And in a way, that's what I was hoping to pull in as we sit with the elements. So it's inside, so it's outside. There's no difference. And when we can allow ourselves to meld, if that's the right word, actually to melt the sense of distinction between worlds, there's a deeper sense of connection. Through that connection comes deep healing and an ability to rest more easily in joy. When we are disconnected or isolated or really more deeply caught in a place of feeling really lonely, it's hard to feel joyful. Right? And some of us may have less humans around us than we may like, so that sense of loneliness may be there. And okay, that may be how it is for now. So where else can we look for connection? Can we rest in the truth of our natural born connection to be of this earth? Connections to the earth's energies, to the heavens, to the animal kingdom. Yeah, these are our doorways into connection that are available to us. Back to David White. Joy can be made by practical, hard-won achievement as much as by an unlooked-for passing act of grace arriving out of nowhere. Joy is a measure of our relationship to death and our living with death. Joy is an act of giving ourselves away before we need to or are asked to. Joy is practiced generosity. If joy is a deep form of love, it is also the raw engagement with the passing seasonality of existence, the fleeting presence of those we love, understood to be a gift, going in and out of our lives, the faces, the voices, the memories, the aromas of the first spring day or the wood fire in winter, the last breath of a dying parent as they create a raw, rare, beautiful frontier between loving presence and a new and blossoming absence. To feel a full and untrammeled joy is to have become fully generous. To allow ourselves to be joyful is to have walked through the doorway of fear. The dropping away of the anxious, worried self felt like a thankful death itself, a disappearance, a giving away. Overheard in the laughter of friendship, the vulnerability of happiness felt suddenly as a strength, a solace, and a source. The claiming of our place in the living conversation, the sheer privilege of being in the presence of a mountain, a sky, a well-loved, familiar face. I was here, and you were here, and together we made a world, right? It's true of this Thursday class that's met for decades. We are all here creating a world, aspirationally a world of refuge and solace and community and connection. And through this, can there be imbued upon in this a sense of joyfulness, of gratitude and appreciation? Yeah, from Mary Oliver. If suddenly and unexpectedly you feel joy, don't hesitate, give into it. There are plenty of lives and whole towns destroyed or about to be. We are not wise and not very often kind, and much can never be redeemed. Still, life has some possibility left. Perhaps this is its way of fighting back, that sometimes something happened better than all the riches or power in the world. And it could be anything, but very likely you notice it in the instant when love begins. Anyway, that's often the case. Anyway, whatever it is, don't be afraid of its plenty. Joy is not to be made a crumb. Don't hesitate. Yeah. This invitation, don't hesitate. Let's look around, see where it's possible. Aware that that line of we're not often kind, things don't often go our way. There's hardships, right? 10,000 joys, 10,000 sorrows, pride, 10,000 challenges, right? 10,000 disappointments. Yeah. Okay. And then how do we, as each week, undertake the practice to meet these challenges, disappointments, joys, and delights with a sense of integrity? Towards that which is important. And it said somewhere, someone said, Christina Feldman, integrity is the first foundation of joy. Living the life of the blameless, if we're mean-spirited and unkind, that weighs heavily in our conscious, in our awareness or outside. But if we can orient towards a place of integrity, which is one of the perfections of the heart. It was in that constellation I spoke of last week, of integrity, of living with a sense of congruence with that which we value, that which we hold to be, that which matters, that what's important. We can be in alignment with how we're living. A sense of integrity, this is a foundational layer of joy, right? There's more space. And I think in many ways, joy and spaciousness are very much together. When we're constricted or fearful or tight, not a lot of room for joy, but when there's this expansion and openness to be available to the flowers, the trees, particularly in springtime, depending on where you are, whether there are wildflowers or flowers in bloom, these offerings of nature is sort of signals of, look, pay attention, there's beauty here that's available when we're aware enough, awake enough to pay attention. Right, a couple of different ways to go. A little bit more from Christina's book. Joy, it seems, comes unbidden. We cannot plan or contrive joy, yet it touches our lives. Joy gladdens our heart. It eases the mind. It has the taste of delight and happiness. We may associate joy with the dramatically happy and intense moments in our lives, falling in love, the birth of a child, the reunion of a treasured friend. Yet, joy can take us by surprise, born of the simplest of life's experiences. Our attention is caught by the sparkle of the dewdrop on the grass, the infectious laughter of a child in the playground, the smile offered by a stranger, the image of a penguin waddling along the beach. We are suddenly awake, present in our life and our hearts are gladdened. Joy, we might say, is the song of the awakened heart. And I so appreciate this, the naming of both. It's the big moments. It's the graduation season. Many things are happening in June, sort of archetypally, seasonally, ritualistically. Okay, those are the big ticket items, so to speak. And yet, those aren't always so frequent. But the play of the light at dawn and at dusk, that's here every day. You know, how the sun might bounce off a leaf or a flower or the face of someone we love, that's here most days. And when we can incline the mind towards joy, towards paying attention to actually even looking for it, the rewards come. You know, that line, what the mind ponders, so inclines the mind. Yeah, in the Buddha, the sense of if we set an intention to incline towards joy or into the good fortune of others, that builds our capacity. And one of the sort of, back in the day, one of the exercises or the expressions of sympathetic joy is if you live in an urban area, be that, so you've been driving around forever trying to find a parking space, and just as you come around the corner, you see a spot and someone pulls in front of it, and your response is, "You're so lucky. I'm so happy for you got that parking space." To kind of check it out, to play with it, because that might not be your first response, but to be able to kind of play with, what if it was? When you see something good that happens to someone, what if the first response is, "I'm so happy for you"? To not deny the fact that we can have envious thoughts or jealous thoughts. Sure, we're human, that comes in. But what do we pay attention to? What do we incline ourselves to listen to? And how do we want to show up? Why don't we do just a few minutes practice of joy, because I think many of us are familiar with the metta phrases. And I think it's helpful to play with the phrases of sympathetic joy. And again, imbuing the sense of joy with the qualities of gratefulness, of generosity, of gratitude. I think they're all of the same milk. So, yeah. All right. Go ahead, close your eyes. And I'm going to ask each of us to call to mind someone who's dear to you and someone easy to love. If it's a child of yours, maybe that child is sleeping. Or if it's a grandbaby, maybe that grandbaby is sleeping. It can be a mentor, a teacher. It might be someone you've never actually met, but when you imagine sitting in this person's presence, the heart delights. There's a gladness. It can be an animal in this realm or one that has passed over. Well, maybe the animal needs to be in this realm for the purposes of this meditation. So if you have that someone that comes to mind and imagine them sitting across from you, how wonderful you are in your being. Just imagine offering these phrases much as you would a bouquet of flowers. I delight that you are here. I take joy in your good fortune. May your happiness continue. How wonderful you are in your being. I delight that you are here. I take joy in your good fortune. May your happiness continue. And just notice the response, how these words feel. They may resonate, they may not. There may be some pushback. Okay, just allowing that to be as it is. But staying, allowing this person's face, their presence to feel as real as possible, as you imagine sitting across from them, offering these phrases, how wonderful you are in your being. I delight you are here. I take joy in your good fortune. May your happiness continue. And then imagine this person comes to sit beside you or perhaps stand behind you if that feels supportive. And just as you offered these well wishings to this being that you care for, so too can you offer this to yourself, self-appreciation, how wonderful I am in my being. And not from an ego sense of, oh, I'm so great, but allowing there to be a connection to our own Buddha nature, our own awakened heart, the steady mind, how wonderful I am in my being. I delight that I am here. I take joy in my good fortune. May my happiness continue. We can extend this generosity to ourselves, this well-wishing. So many of us can have such a strong critical voice internally, and this is such a nice reprieve. How wonderful I am in my being. A delight. I am here. I take joy in my good fortune. May my happiness continue. May my ability to walk in joy increase. May my sense of wonder in the world stay sharp. May I walk with gratitude and appreciation as companions. May my good fortune continue. And then there's no need to open your eyes, but in your mind's eye to picture our beautiful Thursday Sangha. Faces may come easily, or just the sort of the image of the gallery, and to offer these well wishes to each of our Sangha sisters. May your good fortune continue. How wonderful you are in your being. I delight you are here. May your happiness continue. May you walk with generosity and gratitude and joy as companions in this life. May your sense of joy and wonder in the world grow ever sharper. May you find rest and ease in this place of joy. May it be available. Whatever other phrases may resonate, but this well-wishing for each of our Sangha sisters to have a connection to this way of being in the world, that our lives can be infused with joy, distinct and separate from our circumstances. Again, I would say that is one of the strongest sense experiences of liberation. May you live with joy regardless of the external circumstances. Again, finding your own words, but just offering these well wishes to our Sangha sisters. And that may these wishes for joy, as they cascade amongst our Sangha circle and spill out to move in all directions, such that may all beings have a sense and connection to joy, to gratitude, appreciation. May all beings everywhere walk with the companions of joy, gratitude, generosity. May all beings feel a sense in delight in being here. May the good fortune of all beings continue. May I seek solace, comfort, and ease in this abode of sympathetic joy. So I'm going to stop here. And I so appreciate your kind attention and coming along with me.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.